When I preached before out here, I'm not used to having so much fire around me. So if you happen to see some smoke coming up, there's water by that baptismal font. Someone just rush over with a jug and we'll figure that out quickly. Happy Easter, everyone. So good to be here. I'm also just so delighted that the Lord gave us finally like a nice warm weekend to kick off Easter, right? It's like, Lord, thank you, right? Like, hallelujah. Maybe you took off some layers this weekend. Maybe this is the first time you left your house without a coat in a long time. Don't need all the insulation when it gets a little warmer out. I want to talk about insulation a little bit today in the homily, but first I just want to mention that, you know, I've noticed the last couple years, and maybe you have too, that more and more when people are leaving some kind of gathering, sometimes the last greeting they say is they say, stay safe. Like, hey, good to see you. I'll see you next week. Say hi to your wife for me. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. It's like, I hear that a lot recently. Stay safe. A few years back, I was visiting a friend of mine in Georgia, in Atlanta, and we were doing some errands, visiting some friends, driving all over the place, and they were calling that day for 1.5 inches of snow. And well, down in Georgia, you would have thought the world is ending, right? So people are just buying milk and bread from the stores, the radios are blaring all these warnings. Everything is closing down for the day. There's not a flake of snow on the ground yet. And my friend and I go to this gas station to get some snacks. We go in and the attendant is like, oh, you guys are lucky. We're just about to close for the day. It's like, you know, guys, it's going to be crazy today, but watch out. Stay safe. I'm walking out of the gas station. I look at my friend and he can just tell what I'm thinking, right? And he's like, don't give me that smirk. He's like, listen, up in Minnesota, we don't have what you have. We don't have snow plows. We don't have salt trucks. We don't have snow tires. We don't know how to drive in the snow, although that's arguable up here as well, but never mind. He's like, we don't have what you have, right? This is Georgia. Like, of course we don't have what you have. Of course people are afraid. Of course people are afraid. And today, on the day of the resurrection, I think, how true is that? That when we don't think that we have what it takes to get through, whether it's a snowstorm, or whether it's a relationship, or whether it's, what's my life going to be like next week? Of course we're going to have fear. We are afraid of things that are beyond our control. We're afraid of losing things in our life. We're afraid of something more powerful dominating us. And this is where I want to ask all of us this morning on Easter about how we live our lives. Do you and I live a life that is insulated or a life that's invested? A life that's insulated or a life that's invested? You know, a life that's insulated is really motivated by fear. I'm so afraid of losing something I have that I need to insulate my life from the world. I need to put layers up and boundaries up so that I can keep what I have. I don't want to lose it. You know, whether it's layers of insulation from the cold that we all know, or whether it's like so many of our young people in our nation who are really afraid of entering into real relationships face to face. They're not sure how to not be embarrassed, how to not make a mistake. It's easier just to keep the world insulated than just stay on the screen. Or so many people in our nation and people in our communities, people in our families, who are so afraid of something in their lives, or afraid of losing something, that they need to medicate that fear. Whether it's something that they drink, something that they take, something that they do, which is really not good for them. These epidemics of medicating our pain and medicating our fear. We can just keep reality at a distance because I don't want to lose what I have. That's living a life that's insulated. What's a life that's invested? A life that's invested is motivated primarily not by wanting to keep something good, but primarily is motivated by wanting to seek something great. to seek someone, something, some life, some character that's great. And that involves a risk. You invest in the stock market, you invest your money, there's a risk. You're not sure how it's going to turn out. But you're seeking something that's better, something that's greater, and you go for it. Something that's positively motivating you. That's a life that's invested. And all of us, friends, are called to live a life that's not insulated, but a life that's invested. We have a lot of kids here this morning. I'm so glad we've got so many kids making noise in church, crying, making noises, praising the Lord Jesus. I love it. And for all the parents here and grandparents, you know this from parenting, right? Like, as a parent, you want your kids, of course, to be safe. And as you raise them when they're little, of course, you keep them from harm. But actually, you don't keep them from all harm. You actually keep your kids safe from unnecessary risks, like running out into a busy street or being around a situation where evil people might take advantage of your children. Of course, that's a good and healthy instinct. But parents also, as their kids age, parents actually should allow their kids to be exposed to challenges, obstacles, hardships, even things that are a bit unsafe, because they need to learn how to confront those things, how to live a life that's not just fear of what might I lose. I just got to stay safe. I got to keep things at a distance. Got to watch out. We want all of our children growing up to move to a life that's about being invested. What do I want to pursue? Who do I want to be? What are the sacrifices worth making to pursue something great or become a person of great character? Right? That's what healthy parenting looks like, right? Of course, with help and assistance and encouragement and all those things we do to help people along, but we want everyone to live a life that's invested and not just insulated. And sometimes that even means being a little bit unsafe. Friends, today we celebrate the fact that no matter what happens in our lives, we can make that transition to live a life that's invested. And we can live a life with courage and hope because of one solid bedrock event that's happened in history. Jesus Christ, God's Son, rose from the grave. He's not dead, he's alive. Christ is alive. Christ is alive. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is alive. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
God saw how we had fallen into a life of insulation, how because of our sin, because of our shame, because of our fear, that we drew back from loving God and loving our neighbor. We began to live this life, which was just about protecting ourselves, living a life for ourselves. This is the life of sin. But God made each and every one of you for an amazing purpose. He made you for life and not death. And so God, seeing us in our state of poverty, in our state of condemnation, sent Jesus Christ, who risked everything for the investment of winning us back to God. He shed his precious blood on the cross. He underwent agony. He underwent shame. His friends left him. He suffered all kinds of things so that you could be in friendship with God again. That you could have courage and hope in this life no matter what happens, even if the worst thing happens, because Christ is risen. He has conquered sin and death. You can live forever in eternal joy in the kingdom that Jesus Christ established. You know, when people are afraid of something, you know, sometimes we try and console them. We're like, hey, listen, let's think through this logically. Like, what's the worst that could really happen, you know, if you go down this route? And sometimes the answer actually is, the worst that could happen is I could actually die. If I make the wrong choice about my cancer treatment, if I make the wrong choice about the things that I'm addicted to, like, I might actually die. Or maybe, not physically, but literally or figuratively, it's like not my physical death, but what if I have to have my entire lifestyle changed? What if I have to stop living life like I've done it my entire 50 years? I have to live differently. that's going to be a death if I have to change everything my life's about. The good news is, even if the worst should happen to us, if we put our faith into Jesus, God's love for us, God's love for you, you will never be disappointed. Even if you should lose your life, even if you should die, which must happen to all of us, God can raise your very flesh from the grave. And you will never know sorrow or pain again. The gift of Jesus in his forgiveness of our sins and in his resurrection allows us to live a life that's invested. And not just afraid of what might I lose, but instead, what's the greatness that God calls me to? The people in the Bible who we talk about, heard about this weekend, they all discover this. Abraham is given a son in his old age, a promised son. He loves him so dearly. And then God says, sacrifice your son to me. What? Lose the one I've wanted all this time? But Abraham is ready. He almost does it. And God stops his hand and says, no, Abraham, stop. I will provide the sacrifice someday. And the scripture says that Abraham did that because he even considered that God could raise his son from the dead, even if he sacrificed him. It's a life that's invested. Mary, the mother of Jesus, an angel comes to her and says, Mary, if you say yes to this invitation of God, you'll be the mother of the Redeemer. Israel will be saved. Sins will be forgiven. Your life's going to be entirely different. It's not going to be the same. It's going to look so different than other people. But if you say yes to this, there's going to be such an amazing reward. What do you say? And Mary says, yes. Let it be done to me according to God's word. And then Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus, she had seven demons driven out of her by the Lord. We don't know what those seven demons were. Maybe one of them was a demon of fear, where she just felt trapped, like stuck in her life, just had to keep the world at bay and just like close it on herself, close up shop, stay safe, keep others away. But at the tomb, she clings to the tomb. She presses herself against the tomb because she wants to see the one who loved her and saved her. And because of that risk she took, right next there to the Roman soldiers, she sees her risen Lord. And she is commissioned to go and tell the apostles and tell the whole world that God has conquered death and that Jesus Christ is alive. To this day, we venerate her as a saint, as the apostle to the apostles, because her life was invested in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, how do we want to live? How do we want to live? If God has conquered sin and death, if Jesus is risen and is with us today, then wow, you have so much power. You have so much adventure. You have so many good things in store for you. And all it takes is saying, Jesus, I want you to be part of my life. I give you permission. I'm going to invest in you, Lord. I'm not going to just live my life but staying safe. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take some risks because you're with me. I'm going to serve you and do your will for your kingdom. We have this chance this morning to do just that as we renew our baptismal promises, as we give thanks that God has saved us through believing in Jesus and by being immersed in the waters of the Holy Spirit. And I want all of us here who really want to live an invested life, if you're ready for this, if you want to renew this, to respond to all these questions with a really strong, I do. To renounce the life of sin, and to profess our faith in God. Jesus says, whoever would try and preserve his life, whoever would try and insulate his life, will lose it. It'll be lost. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will find it, will gain it, will win it, will preserve it. It's the promise of Christ to live a life that's full of investment and adventure. Brothers and sisters, I think that in this Easter season especially, we should greet each other and say goodbye to each other, not with stay safe, but with the ancient greeting of Christians, who when they would see each other in Easter, they would say, Christ is risen. And the other person would respond, truly he is risen. So friends, if I say Christ is risen, then you say, truly he is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. This side, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, God has conquered our death. He is in love with you. He's pursuing you. He wants to give you eternal happiness in heaven. Invest your life in Christ. Let's stand now and renew the promises we made at our baptism.